Three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversation. Woo! Welcome back. Last week we talked about authentic Christianity, and this week we're going to continue on talking about righteousness. Righteousness is one of the most important things about Christianity because that's what sets us apart from everyone else. Because righteousness means right standing with God.
Yeah.
That's what it means. So, yeah, we got to, it's really important to talk about, because one of the things that I've been hearing a lot lately from Christians is that we'll never be perfect because we're in a body, we're in the flesh, or, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace, you know, we're sinners. But then the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, it says, if we deliberately go on sinning after we received the knowledge of the truth, no further sacrifice for sins remains, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume all adversaries. Yep. So that's in the Bible. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you are sinning deliberately, even after you know it's sin, then saying that you're saved by grace even while you're a sinner it's just not biblical. It's not right. Yeah, I hope that convicts you, not condemns you. Because yeah, God wants us to be righteous. Jesus even says in Matthew 5:48, he says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. So he wouldn't tell that to us unless we were capable of doing that.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just tell us to do something that's impossible, that we can't do. He told us that so that we can live up to that. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. So how do we do that? Let's talk about how we do that.
Yes.
Christine. Chan.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
So how to be righteous. So I was just reading in Philippians 3, the writer, Paul, to give a bit of context, he was like, I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could, because he was circumcised when he was 8 years old, which is by law, you know, you had to do that if you wanted to associate yourself with God, right? A pure-blooded Israelite, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a member of the Pharisees whose standard was like really strict with obeying the law. And he was so zealous that he harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. But then he goes on to say this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 onwards. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done.
Mm.
And what Christ did was he paid the price on the cross, yeah?
Yeah.
And verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. So it's by faith. Believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and believing that that's enough. And no matter what we have done in our past, present, future, what he paid, it was paid in full and it is finished. So yeah, being righteous, you know, doing all these things, there's two ways you can look at it. We're positionally, we're already righteous. Positionally we're already holy. But behaviorally, how we're living every day, that's where, like, what we're talking about right now. And so yeah, positionally we have already received that by faith when we believe in Jesus. So behaviorally, yeah, that's when it becomes an ongoing day-to-day thing. We need to renew our minds to and research how we can do that.
Yeah.
So to start walking in righteousness, the first step is to renew your mind. Because if you're anything like me, you're anything but righteous. Mm-hmm. You know, all these different things you did, swearing off your head, every second word is a swear word. You know, watching porn every day, lusting over women and talking smack about all these different people at school, mm-hmm. gossiping, blah, 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 A, B, C, and D. Anything but righteous.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is so backwards, and it's in the best way possible.
Yeah. And backwards to this world.
Backwards to this world.
It is the right way around.
It is the right way around, 100%. For example, in the world, because I lived in it, I was a very see it before I believe it type of person.
Mm-hmm.
In God's kingdom, you got to believe. You believe it first, yeah. and then you'll see it.
Yeah.
Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. You know, people practice this with online orders all the time.
Mm.
They practice faith all the time.
Mm.
They believe that they've received it. They made the payment.
Yeah.
And it's theirs, but they don't have it yet.
Yeah.
And in a couple of days, they'll see it.
Yeah.
But anyway, becoming righteous, like Chayne said, is by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You receive it by faith.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it starts with renewing the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all you're thinking about is sex, drugs, money, alcohol, all this different stuff,
mm-hmm.
obviously you're not going to walk. You're not going to be wanting to walk in righteousness, because that's all that's on your mind, and that's the flesh talking to you. So the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh.
Yeah.
Is what Paul says.
Mm.
They are waging war against each other. So the way to overcome that is to renew your mind. So that's Romans 12:2, which reads, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Renewing of the mind is constant. I'm still renewing parts of my mind. There are areas in my life where I'm like, okay, well, I don't think that's where I need to be at right now. I need to renew it.
Mm.
It's progressive.
Mm.
I'm always moving up.
Yep.
You know, for a season, God might be like, okay, this is okay. But now, a couple years down the track, we need to step up a little bit. Like a world athlete isn't going to play Division 5 all his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're going to move up, especially if they're putting the work in. Yeah, so like I said already, it starts by renewing your mind to the Word of God. You renew your mind to the Word of God and it'll come easy. And the best thing about it is when you involve the Holy Spirit is quick to convict. Like the scripture says in 12:2,
mm-hmm.
once the transformation happens, by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Discern. So you can pick apart different situations and be like, is this the will of God? Don't think so. That's because you've renewed your mind. And you'll be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So that's what happens when you start renewing your mind. Righteousness is free-flowing because Jesus is righteous and he's living in you. And he wants you to walk in righteousness.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's all I got to say right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll bring out some more scripture. So in Romans 6, we'll start with 6. Romans 6, 7 and 8. So I want everyone listening, I want you guys to study those verses.
Yes.
So Romans 6 is talking about being righteous. So let's start from the very first one. So what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in the newness of life.
Mm.
And then 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin.
Mm.
So what Jesus did, when we get baptized into his death, it's a spiritual thing. When we get baptized into his death, our old self died.
Yeah.
And then when we rise, we are baptized into his resurrection. And that's the newness of life.
Mm.
That's where you get born again from. Because our old self, our old nature was sin. You know, you don't teach a baby to sin. They sin automatically. You know, everything is theirs.
Yeah.
They're automatically selfish. You don't have to teach a baby to be offended. Eventually, like they grow up, you know.
Yeah.
And then they start being offended. They start being, you know, all that stuff, jealous and all that stuff. But yeah, the newness of life, you've got to understand that. And all you're getting, get understanding. Where the power comes when you understand this stuff.
Mm.
When you understand that you are no longer your old man, your old self. You are born again. If any man is in Christ, they are a new creation, a new creature altogether.
Yeah.
And that's just, let's pause on that. If any man be in Christ, you are a new creation, a new creature altogether. Okay, so let's stop putting our experience, our old experience, above what God's word says.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen.
Mm.
God's word says you are new. You are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come.
Mm.
So that's what you would have to renew your mind on, because your mind has the history of sin, has the habit of sin.
Yeah.
But once you understand that if any man be in Christ, they are a new creation.
Mm.
It's like you've never sinned before, ever.
Yeah.
And you don't want to sin, because you don't want to defile what God has made in you.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of, I don't want to, because it's a concept of righteousness consciousness rather than sin consciousness.
Mm. Yeah.
I asked God about how to see that, how to like walk it out. And he gave me the picture of balancing. When you're trying to balance, you don't look at something wobbly. You look at something that's still, because you want to stay still.
Mm.
So you look at Jesus. You look at righteousness. You look at the word. And that's exactly what Romans 8 says. So we'll skip 7 for now and we'll go back to it. Romans 8, it's talking about living in the Spirit, setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. So we'll go to 5, Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Yep. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit.
Mm.
For to set the mind on the things of the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. For to set the mind on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot.
Mm.
And then for those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, you listener, are not in the flesh,
yes,
but is in the Spirit,
mm,
if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, so if you prayed the prayer of salvation, if you prayed that prayer and you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. So, you've got to consciously, you've got to stand up in yourself and set your mind on the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the Bible says that the Word is Spirit, Spirit and life.
Yeah.
You set your mind on the Word. You don't set your mind on what you're feeling, although it's so easy. It's so counterintuitive because you've lived that your whole life. So, it is a process.
Mm.
It is a process. So we'll go back to Romans 7 again. Not again, but we'll go back to Romans 7. Romans 7, a lot of people use this chapter to say, to excuse themselves. They want to use this chapter to say, oh, see, even Paul couldn't be righous.
Excuse.
Yeah. They justify themselves so that they can stay the same and stay in sin. Justify themselves so that they can stay indulging in the sexual, mostly it's sexual stuff, sexual sin.
Mm.
But the context of this verse, Paul is talking about being righteous based on works. So if you look at the first verse, it says, or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. So he's speaking to those who are legalistic, basically.
Mm.
And then this is the verses that that people normally use to justify themselves. Okay, so it's starting at 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells within me. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do what I want, do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Mm. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff that I want to bring out. Sorry, I'm not letting you guys, but
it's all good.
Google.
But
you got it, bro.
He is saying he can't do it in his own strength.
Mm.
I love the new song that came out by Maverick, I Thank God. Mm. One of the lyrics is, I tried with all my mind, but I forgot the lyric. But he tried.
I love
with
the lyric, but I forgot it.
I have to sing it out. I have to sing it from the start. But he tried with all his mind, but couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that's the same with Paul. He tried with all of his mind, but he kept doing the thing that he hated. Mm. So a lot of Christians are there. Mm. I was there for nearly all of my Christian life. And the thing about that is, it is no longer, if I do not do what I want to do, let me read it verbatim. For if I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out, it's no longer I who sins, but sin who dwells within me. Mm. So a lot of Christians are there. And don't be condemned. Romans 8 says, there is no condemnation in Christ.
Mm.
Do not be condemned, because if you have the desire to be righteous, that already means that God is working in you. That already means that you've changed. Because before you got saved, you didn't care.
Mm.
You would watch porn, you would fornicate, you would swear, all that garbage, and you didn't care. You didn't blink. But now that you are saved, now that you are born again, now that stuff is, you can't tolerate it in your life.
Mm.
It doesn't sit right.
Yeah.
But praise God, it doesn't end there. That's why it's Romans 7. And then Romans 8 talks about, if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the... If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, it's death. But to set your mind on the things of the spirit is life and peace.
Mm.
So it's all about, like what these guys said, it's about renewing your mind. But yeah, wanted to bring out a lot of scripture and do my best to destroy any argument of
living in sin.
Living in sin.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is you're justifying yourself to live in sin.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about last week as well, like lukewarm Christianity. Yeah. People find scriptures in the Bible like, oh, so they twist it so much.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like what Jella was saying, like some people use these scriptures as a little bit of like a leeway and be like a bit of leverage saying, oh, I can keep watching porn because Paul sinned too. What? No. You need help, my friend. And that help comes from Jesus.
Yeah. Mm.
You need Jesus, 100%. Picture it this way. Would Jesus watch porn?
No.
No. Mm. Would he lie? No.
No, no.
What have we called to be? We've been called to be imitators of God.
Mm.
Now, are you imitating God when you're watching porn? When you're lying? When you're gossiping? When you're slandering? When you're doing all this yucky stuff? No, you're not. So quit using the scriptures and twisting them to satisfy your flesh. That's not what the word is for.
Yeah.
You're supposed to crucify the flesh. You're supposed to lay it down.
Yeah.
That's what fasting is for.
Yeah.
Kill your flesh and just live by the Spirit. Like Romans says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace.
Mm. Mm.
That sounds like it's a lot better than death, bro. Like, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Life and peace comes because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you were saying before in Romans 7, where it talks about, like using that as an excuse for sin.
Mm.
There's been a lot of teaching that has been misconstrued about grace. Yes, grace means getting...
unmerited favor.
Yeah, unmerited favor. Yes, it does mean that. And that's all well and good. But it also means supernatural empowerment.
That's right.
Supernatural empowerment. So it's not allowance to sin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, God loves us. Yes, there is no condemnation. But God has given us this grace, this power, not to be obliged to give in to that yearning to satisfy the flesh.
Yeah.
We can. He's given us that grace to be free
yeah.
from wanting, be free from that craving to fulfill that flesh desire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, grace is empowerment for us to do what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
I know it seems hard. I know we've all been there. Renewing the mind, it's not always easy. But He's given us this grace, this power. It's just a testament of God is with us. God yeah. is with you. God is for you. And He's giving us this boost of power to get us through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Mm.
Amazing. And it also, that definition of grace gives so much more to that verse that talks about where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because I have been there where temptation was so huge.
Yeah.
But then I remind myself. So you need to remind yourself of the word.
Mm-mm.
I reminded myself His grace is sufficient for me. And His power is made perfect in my weakness. And mm-hmm. right now I'm feeling extremely weak.
Yeah.
But I thank You, Lord, that You are all the more strong in my weakness.
Yeah.
I trust Your ability to work through me and in me more than my ability to miss it. Mm. I thank You, God, and I praise God. I bless the Lord at all times, and His praises will continually be on my lips. And then boom, like it's like boom, free, you know? Like that temptation is gone.
Double boom.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Praise God. Let's go back to Romans 6 real quick.
Yeah.
Romans 6 from verse 20 and onwards. So, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what that's talking about is like, when you were a slave to sin, righteousness wasn't on your mind, pretty much. Mm. 21. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is
death.
But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Eternal life.
Yeah.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Praise our Lord.
That's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Mm.
So, the wages of sin is death. Sin will lead you to death.
Yeah.
The free gift of eternal life. That's the free gift, right? Eternal life is the free gift. Righteousness, it all follows through.
Yeah.
It's all in there. It's like what Jella was saying before, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. Paul goes on to say, shall we keep on sinning so there's more grace? And he says, surely not,
no.
By no means.
No.
More sin doesn't equal more grace.
Mm-mm.
No way, my friend, no way. This is a call to righteousness.
Yeah.
This is we're trying to not motivate, but tell you what the word of God is, because our opinions don't matter, to be honest.
Mm.
This is the word of God. We want to tell it to you straight. Because, look, if righteousness was a real revelation in the church, I really believe that all this yucky stuff wouldn't be a problem. Swearing, fornicating, all this stuff in the church.
Yeah.
All this stuff wouldn't be a problem if righteousness and holiness and purity was taken seriously.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's sin's the problem. Sin is definitely the problem. There's a lot of Christians who still walk like they're wounded, but they're victorious,
mm-hmm.
right? There's mm-hmm. people who, I'm not rejecting those who have gone through stuff, like I went through stuff. I'm not saying you have scars, you don't have scars, blah, blah, blah. There's effects of that stuff. There are effects. But look, I'm not going to be all mellow about being all sad about it, being all down and blue about it.
Sympathetic's
the word, thank you.
Mm.
I'm not going to be about that because what the Bible says, like what Jella was saying before in the previous podcast, the Bible is a mirror.
Yeah.
Right now, it might not even look like your reflection. But surely enough, once you peel away all those layers, once you take away all those things from your life, you start becoming the Word, and that's the goal.
Yeah.
The goal is to become just like Jesus. Paul says to imitate him as he imitates Christ.
Yeah.
And that he's in another place, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children.
Mm.
When a beloved child imitates his father, like their dad's their hero. Like they think he's the man, right? And then their dream as a kid is like, I want to be just like daddy. I want to be just like him. Like he could be, I don't know, a bricklayer. And like, I want to lay bricks like dad. I want to do all this stuff just like dad, right? When I was a kid, my dad did like karate competitions. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I was like, wow, I want to be a black belt just like my dad. Like that was how I started imitating him. There's like photos in my house of me in like a black belt and I'm like 5 years old. That's being an imitator as a beloved child, right? So in the same way, imitate God. The only way to imitate God is to know what he's like.
Mm.
Mm.
And that starts from reading the word and renewing your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I really encourage you, my friend, listening on the other end of this podcast, to research the word for yourself. Find out what God is like. And don't read just for the sake of it. Yeah. You know, read with intentionality. You want to go in there, not because it's the right thing to do, or it's part of your 1 year Bible plan. Mm. I'm not against Bible plans, you know, like whatever. But don't just read the Bible just cause, because it's the Christian thing to do. Read it because you want to know God better. You want to know him deeper. You want to know more and more about him every single day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say again what I said last week about this not being a chore. It's not a chore.
Mm.
Renewing your mind, finding out about God is not this boring thing.
Mm.
It's like if you know the truth, then there's freedom.
Yeah.
Then there is freedom. You don't know what true freedom feels like, man. If you're still stuck in sin, man, like it's freedom from sin is it's incredible.
Mm.
Because you're right, you know you're right standing with God. You know, there's a difference between seeing that you're like reading that you're right with God and actually being right with God, like living it out and not having this drive to sin. Because like, let's read Romans 8 again. Romans 8:12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For years, I have believed that I needed to sin because I couldn't stop sinning. But when that chain was broken and I was finally free and I knew that I was right with God, there is a confidence that builds with God in your relationship. Yeah. As we said last week, it's a relationship with God.
Mm.
And if you're in sin, it's kind of like a bad marriage. If you know you're doing the thing that your spouse hates, how can you be in good relationship with them? If there is just this huge elephant in the room, this thing that you haven't let go of, how can you truly, genuinely come to God and just enjoy his presence when you know you're doing the thing that he hates? He doesn't hate you, as I said in a previous podcast. He hates the sin because sin defiles you. It ruins what you are, what he created you to be.
Yeah.
There was a comment in one of the TikToks in that video. He brought up verses in Psalm where David is saying, he's talking about how it sounded like God hates the sinner. Like he hates the wicked. He abhors and he sees the wicked as an abomination. My response to that is sin defiles you. It makes you into the thing that he did not create, into something that he did not create.
Mm.
It completely twists you. And if you're going to be someone who affects the rest of his children, that's why he spits out the lukewarm. If you're going to be someone who spits out the rest of who he loves, like he loves the world, he loves his children. And yeah, that's why he hates the wicked. But he doesn't hate the person. He hates what sin has done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, sin is so... You should not tolerate it.
Yeah, you gotta cut it out, like, from the root. Some of the sins, like, you cut them off, and then in like a few months' time, it's back. It's because you didn't cut it out from the root.
Yeah.
You gotta get it from the root. And once you get it from the root, the devil's gonna try and trick you and be like, oh, you still doing this, still doing that. You gotta get your nose in the book, and like what Jello was saying, to tell yourself, remind yourself of the word of God. And just when the devil reminds you, he's speaking out of his own nature of lies.
Yeah.
Jesus says he is the father of lies. He has been lying from the beginning. All he does is lie. So when he reminds you of stuff, he's lying to you. Yeah. And he does it in a way where it sounds like it's you talking. There's voices in your head that aren't you. Mm-hmm. That's a scary thought. For some people, but look, it's the reality. The devil will talk to people. You have self-talk, and God will talk to you as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is important to renew your mind, that you may be able to discern what is good, what is pleasing, acceptable, and perfect, the will of God. Right?
Yeah.
And that's essential in our walk with God. That's essential in our walk in Christianity. We have to know the will of God. We have to know what God says about these words. Like in dealing with sin and unrighteousness and stuff like that, like there's so many scriptures, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians. Yeah. There's so, like, all these different books in the Bible talk about dealing with unrighteousness. So you look at the Corinthian church, like I said before, there's a bunch of stuff in there in that church that was just straight up like messed up. And Paul gives instructions and leads them into a righteous way of living.
Yeah.
And by the second letter to the Corinthians, this guy who was sleeping with his stepmother repents, and Paul says to welcome him back.
Yeah.
His rebuke turned their situation around because it produced a godly sorrow, which led them into repentance, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Godly sorrow is good sorrow. Yeah. Now godly sorrow isn't like, I feel so bad. That's condemnation. Godly sorrow is like, whoa, okay, I messed up. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. Thank you, Lord. And you'll feel it in your heart that you grieved God. Like, for example, like when I get my girlfriend mad, I know, right? And when she's grieved, I know. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try not to do that again. I really don't want to go through this stuff again. This isn't fun for either of us.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when that happens, right, you want to make sure that you're in the right relationship. Like for me and Christine, where like it's a journey. Yeah, I still get her mad. All this different stuff, right? But it's still like when I grieve her, I get grief too. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that. Right? And I say, I'm sorry. I say all this stuff. I say, it's like me repenting to God, right? I'm like, God, I'm so sorry that I did that. I know I'm not supposed to. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you. And I confess scriptures over myself. Yeah. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Mm. If I confess my sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Like, bro, I've sinned so many times. I know the scriptures off by heart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the scripture has never lost its power, never lost its truth.
Yeah.
So all these scriptures, I keep coming back to them because I have to get it embedded in me.
Yeah.
Right? And like Jesus says, the tower, that parable of the tower being built on the rock or the sand, the waves and the winds come.
Yeah.
And the tower that was built on a rock didn't move. But if the foundation was sand, it fell over, right?
Mm.
So you have to be founded in Jesus' work. You have to be built on top of that. What is your foundation? Is it some preaching that made you feel good a couple years ago? Or is it the genuine, alive, and living and active word of God?
Mm.
You have to find out. The scripture says to test whether you are in the faith. Test it. Test it out. Like, are you still... in faith. Like, I'm not saying like overanalyze yourself, like, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad Christian. Like, no, shut up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself, right? Assess yourself. Feel like, okay, this is what the word says. Where's my life at right now? Okay, so I need to fix that. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Your grace is sufficient for me, for your power is made perfect in weakness. Confess scriptures over yourself. Find scriptures about your situation. And then repeat them. Get them inside of you. Get them into your heart.
Yeah.
Like with sin and righteousness, there's so many. There's so many scriptures in there. Like the 1 John 1:9 that I was saying, Romans 8:1, like all these different scriptures can relate to your situation. It is no longer I who sin, but the sin that dwells within me, that in my flesh, right? And all these different scriptures that'll help you overcome sin. Because sin, all you have to do is by faith believe that you're righteous. I heard this teaching from Joseph Prince. He was approached by a man who was dealing with pornography. And he says, I just can't stop. And then Joseph Prince gave this man advice saying, before you do it, confess every single time that I am the righteousness of God.
Mm.
Sooner or later, that addiction to pornography completely stopped.
Yeah.
Because he started believing it. I'll tell you another one. There's this man dealing with, he was a smoking addict, addicted to smoking. And what happened was he approached another man of God. His name's Keith Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Brother Keith, I just can't stop smoking. And then Pastor Keith says, that's because you keep saying you can't. And then he goes on to say, instead of saying you can't, say, I am free in Jesus' name.
Mm.
Mm.
Every time he picked up a ciggy, he said, I am free in Jesus' name. Smoked a few. And then one day, he says, he lights up his ciggy, puts it in his mouth, right? And he goes, you know what? I am free. Mm. Puts it out, chucks out the ciggies, completely free from that day forward.
Yeah.
He started believing it. It might take some time, but you'll get there.
Yeah.
100%.
It doesn't make you a hypocrite either.
Yeah.
Like confessing that scriptures over you, it doesn't make you a hypocrite. It makes you a believer.
Because
despite what you're feeling, despite the habit, despite what you did this morning, you are still going to the Word of God.
Yeah, that's
and true. You are still, in the face of all that failure, you are still believing the Word of God. And the Word is living and active. So you got to let it work in you. Remind yourself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about like meditating and renewing the mind. And just for anyone who doesn't really know how to do that and how to approach that, I love what was taught to us a while ago is that if you know how to doubt, you know how to meditate.
Yeah.
So it's just a constant thought. Just think about it. Get a verse and just think about it. You don't have to read it over and over again. If you feel led to do that, you can.
Yeah.
But what I like to do is I just like to take a verse, think about it. My grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
My grace is sufficient for you. What does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? Just imagine it. And then as you're meditating on it, just think about, you know, what it could lead to. What does it really mean? And what Jella was saying, how like the truth, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Yeah.
I love how Creflo Dollar puts it. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth that you know shall set you free. It's the truth that's inside of you, the truth that's alive in you. Mm. That's the truth that will set you free. Because we all know scriptures, we all know Bible verses, but it's the stuff that's alive in you that makes the difference. So just for those of you in the back to meditate on the word, it's not hard. It's not.
Think about it.
Yeah, just think about it. Think about it. Yeah.
Easy as that.
Mm.
Yeah. So here's some verses you can meditate. So here's Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he's brought us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Amen. That's something that I've meditated on when dealing, like when I'm getting that temptation. So my understanding of that verse is he's already rescued me. So then my vision is, I imagine I'm no longer someone who's vulnerable to that sin anymore. I am now in the kingdom of his beloved son. I'm protected. I'm no longer like that. I am in the kingdom of his beloved son. Something that Gerard said, it's by faith. You receive it by faith. And I think over time, by faith has kind of become not really. Like, that's what I've seen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, by faith I'm healed. Huh? But really means not really.
Yeah.
I'm healed, but not really. You know, and I just see it. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. And hope is what you are seeing. It's the substance of things that you see in your vision, in your imagination. Like, let's use imagination, the word. Like, it's God gave you your imagination. Use it for the glory of God. But yeah, it's the substance of things you imagine. So, he has rescued me from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought me into the kingdom of his beloved son. By faith receiving, that looks like he has already he's already rescued me. So I can, for example, I imagine my old self, and I imagine him taking me from there, and he's already put me into light. Like, I imagine darkness, and I see his hand, and he's picking me up, and he's put me into light. And I imagine that, and I keep imagining that, and I understand that that is the word of God. Like Colossians 1:13, it's in the book, it's in the Bible. This is God's word. This is Paul writing, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. He has rescued me, and personalize it as well. He has rescued me from the dominion of darkness, and he's brought me into the kingdom of his beloved son. So I'm already there. Yeah. Hallelujah. By faith is not really, but it is. Like in the Amplified, it says you have the title deed. So like what Gerard said, people are already demonstrating faith when they do online purchases. You receive a receipt. Yep. And that's what the title deed is.
Yep.
It's a receipt. So by faith, I have it already. I have it.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. And Dr. Kirby, wise man, he said, faith is not the denial of reality, but it is the recognition of finality, because God's word always has the final say. So despite what you're feeling, despite what you see, despite the circumstance, God's word does not pass away. Heaven and earth passes away, but God's word remains the same. He exalts his word above himself. So you've got to really be in awe and reverence of God's word, because he exalts it above himself. The God of the universe exalts his word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So treat it like that. A lot of the time we treat it like it goes in one ear and out of the other. So if you're listening and you're able to, put one finger on your ear and say, he has delivered me from the kingdom of darkness, and he has transferred me into the kingdom of his beloved son. And then take off your finger from your ear. And that's just so it doesn't go in one ear and out of the other.
That's a prophetic move. An act of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let it just leave. Like, it's God's word. God. Think of the most trustworthy person you know in your life. And God is...
times that by a billion.
Times that by a billion. He watches his word in order to perform it.
Yeah.
That's who God is. God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he would ever change his mind. His promises are yes and amen. He watches over his word so that it doesn't return back to him void.
Yes.
That's who he is. That's God. So I know that, like, the people listening, whoever's listening to this, if you've made it this far especially, you are not someone who's a fake Christian. I know you're not. You are some
freedom.
Yeah, you are craving freedom, and you are so close. It's not even funny. So close. He sees your desire to be free from this, from habits.
Yeah, and God's going to honor that 100%. Yeah,
100%. He sees you. He sees your heart. And yeah, so don't be condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Yeah, you could have sinned like right before this podcast, and that's why you listened to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is definitely God speaking to you, my friend. God just wants to let you know There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So, yeah, amen, bro. That's all I wanted to say for that part.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk about more stuff, but we'll get Cheyenne to wrap this up. I know she's looking at the...
I'm looking for a verse.
Yeah. So, if you want freedom, it's super easy. So, like Jella was saying before, don't just say, oh, yeah, by faith, you know. Like, actively walk in that faith. Like, you want to be saying, yes, I am. I am free. I am free. Just like that guy who was bumming ciggies like for ages, and then out of nowhere, he was set free because he's just like, you know what? I am free.
Yeah.
Just like that. That guy who was addicted to pornography, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. You know what? I am the righteousness of God. Bang. Yeah. Set free. That's it. It's that easy.
It's a seed.
It's a seed. And this is, and you water it, you take care of it, you keep growing it. And sooner or later, that seed becomes so, that plant in you becomes so big that all the other yucky things just get flushed out.
Yeah.
It'll really benefit you.
Yeah.
Sin, when I sin in the past, after sin, like the pleasure that came like during it, afterwards, I just felt like crap.
Hmm.
Like straight up. Like I was like, why'd I do that? And that's every single time. The devil is quick to tempt you, yeah, and is quick to condemn you.
Yeah.
The same one who said, yeah, let's do it one last time, you know? One last time.
Mm.
And then afterwards he's like, oh, there you go again. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. Blah, blah, blah. You're in the ministry. Blah, blah. All this different stuff. The devil is a liar. You got to know that. The devil is a liar. And he's looking to take you out. Mm. You got to stand up. You got to stand up. Quit being a pansy. Like, take your position in God. Really believe that you are a son, a daughter, a child of the Most High God. And that the devil is under your feet. You got to believe it. You got to believe it.
Yeah.
Because if you're running around just sort of on the fence, happy-go-lucky, you know what I mean? Whatever comes and you're just like, oh, yeah, I guess so. It'd be like that sometime. Like that sort of attitude, bro. Like I started saying that because I thought it was funny. But it's such... I started realizing like, wow, that is not a good confession over my life.
Hmm.
I gotta start taking the word into my life instead of saying it'd be like that sometimes. Hmm. No, it don't be like that sometimes.
It really don't.
It really do not be like that sometimes, my friend. You can't... We, all these different things that social media depicts as funny and stuff. I'm keen for a laugh, 100%. I like laughing. I love joy. I love laughter.
Hmm.
But when it comes to living in it, right? Living in those memes, living a meme, you know, right?
Hmm.
Like what benefit is that going to be? Because you're going to start saying all this stuff and you won't even know it's affecting you.
Yeah.
And then you start, your life starts sucking.
Yeah.
And you start spiraling downhill. And before you know it, you're backslidden and you've lost your first love.
Yeah.
That's like worst case scenario, but you might even be there right now. And this is your call to come back up.
Yeah.
You know, once you turn around, Jesus is going to be right there and he's going to walk you out of it. That's it. It's all good. Praise God, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then you're not condemned.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen. That's it. So, have you found the verse yet?
Yeah, I
found it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, for those who are listening that do feel condemned, I used to be in that place where I would be just so ashamed to even admit to God who, you know, I couldn't even see, and I could come to him in my own room in secret, but I would still feel so ashamed to admit all those things. I came across, well, I was reading the Bible, Psalm 32. I'll quickly read the whole thing. It's a good one, so it's worth the listen, okay? So Psalm 32 from verse 1. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. and I groaned all day long. Jeez. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So there's so much joy in repentance because our trust is in God.
Yeah.
There's so much joy because it finally frees us from the guilt that we weren't ever supposed to carry. Mm. Yeah, there's such a weight in guilt and in shame, but he paid for that fully and wholly, and we need to walk in the life that he paid for. Yeah, so repentance is, it's a joyful thing. It's supposed to be a joyful thing. It's supposed to be a freeing thing. I want to encourage every one of you who are listening that God already knows it. Mm. He's omniscient. Mm-hmm. He knows all. Mm-hmm. And nothing is hidden from him. Everything is revealed to him because he is light. There's no darkness when he's wherever he is. So if you've already received him, he already knows it.
Yeah.
So all we need to do, all he's asking, all he's looking for is just surrender. All he's looking for is just, you know, trust him. Trust him and repent and just confess it to him. That's all he's looking for. And he wants to set you free from all that.
Yeah.
And he's ready and willing to give you grace, power to walk in complete liberty from sin and from the craving of sin.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, if you want that, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for every listener who is struggling with sin, who is struggling from the cravings and the lustful desires of their flesh, Lord Father. I thank you, Jesus, that there is no condemnation in you, but you have given them grace, the power to walk in complete freedom from sin and death. For they are no longer slaves to their flesh. They are no longer obliged to listen to their flesh or to their desires, but they are completely liberated in your spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that even while we were dead in sin, you raised us up, united in Christ Jesus, so that we could live. We can live in liberty. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And I just speak life over every person that is hearing the sound of my voice. Speak life and light and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to them in a real, tangible way.
Yeah.
Encounter them, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And if you have never experienced that, if you've never experienced an encounter with Jesus, and if you've never experienced a love like Jesus, and you want that, just pray this prayer with me. So, thank you, Jesus. I acknowledge the price that you paid for me, that you paid the full price on the cross for me. Every sin that I have done, past, present, and future, you have paid in full. So all guilt and shame no longer belongs to me, and I am set free. I am a new creation. Lord, I give you my heart. Make me brand new. Give me a new heart. Give me a new life. In you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I share one last verse before I close?
Yeah.
Is that okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right at the bottom, verse 21. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Mm. Praise God.
Jesus took your sin. Righteousness is available. Just receive. You got it. You got it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Praise God. All right. Thanks, guys, for watching and listening. See you next time. Make sure to follow and make sure to subscribe. And leave a like and leave a comment and
give us questions.
Yeah, give us questions.
We love questions.
Yeah.
We read through all those TikTok comments and Instagram stuff. Like, we read through, like, people are saying, like, amen. Like, oh my gosh, this is so profound. Like, it's so encouraging seeing all that stuff. And all the questions are really good questions. Yeah. Like, even if they come from, like, they want to come at our necks and stuff. But it's honestly a genuine, really good question.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we welcome questions. We welcome the encouragement. Thank you, Jesus.
We're not threatened by hard questions as well.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, give us your best, mate.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at harvestnowchurch@gmail.com to suggest a topic to talk about or ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.